Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. With the COVID-19 virus and the stay-in-place order that we've all spent a lot of time at home, and I know on my street a lot of people have worked in their yards that I've really never seen walk out of their front door before. I love it, really. People getting in touch with what's going on in their yard. Now, they may know what they're doing and they may not. So I brought in longtime friends of Atlanta Living, the guys from Gibbs Landscaping, Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs. Guys, thanks for joining us on the line.
Oh, thank you, Belinda.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much, Belinda.
Now, Peter, I'm going to ask you first, what types of calls are you getting at Gibbs right now? I mean, what are people asking for?
Well, the biggest thing that people are asking for right now is for us to come out and create some type of outdoor living space for them in their backyards. That's really what they're calling for, Belinda.
So it's like they've spent so much time inside that they've got to extend the footprint and the square footage and get outside.
Yes. Yeah, so like you said, Belinda, people have been staying home a lot, and I think they're just tired of being inside. You know, everyone's wanting to try and create some type of outdoor space that would meet their lifestyle needs. Something that's interesting, and this has really never happened before, but we've received dozens of letters from past clients thanking us for spaces we had designed for them in the past.
Aww.
And what's really interesting about it is it almost all the letters have the same theme, but they're basically saying that we're so glad we did this because it did allow us to be outside with our families and not just inside the home all the time during the last few months.
And the weather during this has really been spectacular. I mean, we've had some rainy days, but for the most part, we've had great weather.
Yeah, our weather has been super this spring. I guess that is one shining star in what we've been dealing with lately. But the weather has been fantastic. We've had sunny days, cool temperatures, and it has been just wonderful for people to spend time outside during the day and the evenings.
So are you talking to people at all that have tried to start something, a big project in the backyard, and see that they're over their head and can't really do it and need to call in the experts?
Yeah, I think that most of the people, you know, they want something, but they really don't know what they want. And when you're doing an outdoor project like this, you really have to work with the lay of the land when you first start, because that's what we're going to be building on. And I think sometimes people can't visualize what they can actually have. But once, you know, we're able to get out there with the landscape architect and really talk to them about what their lifestyle is, then you're able to start designing outdoor spaces that will meet those needs.
Okay, let's open it up to the listeners, because I know people have lots of questions because a lot is going on right now. We've got things going on with grasses. We've got people trying to get their edibles planted, some gardening done, and they have lots of questions. Things are going right. Things are going wrong. Let's get them on the right track. Folks, you can call 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Rachel's going to screen your calls quickly as possible and get you up and get Peter or David to answer your question. Now, David, as far as grasses go, what should we be doing in our lawn right now to have the best result through the summer months?
Well, we've had a lot going on right now. We've had the warm season grass, the Zoysia Bermuda. It's been rather cool, as you guys most of you know. They're not greening up real quick. So we still have a little bit of time on those. But with the warm weather coming up, just make sure you put that heavier nitrogen fertilizer out. Make sure you have your pre-em out.
Okay.
And aerate when the grass is about 80% greened up, and you should be in really good shape.
Okay.
Sure.
I see a lot of the grasses right now about ready for aeration.
Right. They're close. So we're probably looking towards, I would say, within the next 3 weeks, and then they'll be good. And that aeration's just so important. I mean, it's going to help get the nutrients, the water down in the roots, and you're going to see a huge difference.
Now, is that something that the homeowner can do themselves, or do they need to hire that done?
We're doing a lot of that at Gibbs right now because it's just easier for us to come out. We've got the equipment. And, I think it's easier to hire somebody just because the equipment. You need to have the right aerification equipment to do it right. You could do it, but you're going to have to rent it. You're going to have a truck to haul it. And it seems like a lot of people do it one time. They just don't do it again.
So, okay. After you aerate, and then you're seeding after that, I'm sure.
Well, we do that's the fescue in the fall.
Okay.
Pretty much warm season grass. We're just going to aerate it, and then it's just going to do its thing.
Okay. So it's going to look pretty weird for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the pellets on top of the ground, but the water will pretty much disperse them, and they'll be fine. Fescue now is looking, you've seen around the green. It's been perfect because these cool nights. Don't put a lot of nitrogen at this point. We just need to use some liquid iron. We put our prams out. It'll keep the weeds out. And the key to fescue is a slow-release nitrogen that we put out over the last 2 months, and that's going to keep it green and healthy throughout the summer.
Okay, folks, if you have a question for Peter or David with Gibbs Landscaping, give us a call, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Maybe you're trying to do something in your lawn, landscape, or in your garden, and you don't know what's quite going on, or you'd like to do something and you have questions. These guys are the experts. And we're going to go to the phone lines, guys, and speak with Joe in Johns Creek. Joe, what's your question for the Gibbs Landscaping crew?
Hello. I was just wondering if you guys know what's going on with Leland Cypress. I just see so many of them with dead spots in them, and some of them have just completely died. And a lot of fir trees, that's happening too. So I was just wondering if you had seen that.
Peter, do you want me to grab that one? Or
sure.
Yeah. The Leyland cypress, they have Botrysphaera. It is a blight, kind of a canker blight that hit us years ago. And how bad are they? Is about the whole tree dying, or is it just part of it?
Well, I just see them all over the place, and I've been spraying mine with antifungal and that, and trying to cut it out. But I see some of them, it starts with one limb, and then it goes to the whole tree,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really in North Fulton a lot.
Yeah, what you can do, really, the only thing, there's no 100% cure to this. You can prune back the infected branches, make sure they have plenty of water. A tree injection from a tree company will help. That's going to get some nutrients and all kind of mycorrhizae and everything down in the roots. Unfortunately, the tree eventually is going to die. I mean, you're better off thinking about an alternative at this point. I say that, but okay. It's just one of those things. We just aren't able to control them anymore.
Yeah, so spraying that antifungal in there is not good. Is that right?
Well, it's just going to, you can do it. It might help a little bit. I'm afraid you're going to be spending so much time and money. You're probably going to get frustrated.
Yeah.
You're probably going to quit, and you're just going to say, forget it. So that's what my dad.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks.
Good luck with it.
Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks. Bye.
And it's sad when you see several of them planted together and then there's that one that dies and then you're left with like a hole in your mouth.
Yeah, that's just unfortunate.
Yeah, so what do you advise when that happens, guys?
Well, I mean, one of the biggest things, and, typically when we're going back to do a project at someone's house or someone's calling us because someone did something before, the canker that David was mentioning does affect these trees greatly, but one of the biggest things that affects Leyland cypresses and other evergreen screening trees is improper spacing when they're planted.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone will either hire someone to come do it. They may do it themselves. And we were talking about a Leyland cypress, but you'll see Leyland cypresses that are planted, you know, 4 and 5 feet spacing between them. Mm-hmm. And really a tree like that that gets that tall and that wide, they really need to be planted about 10 feet apart for them to have the proper sunlight to be able to grow, because they'll end up shading themselves out and then they'll turn brown as well, even when they don't have disease, when they're planted too close.
Isn't it is it the arborvitae that looks very similar to a Leyland cypress?
Yeah, it does. And there's several, and when you're from a design standpoint, Belinda, sometimes the name of the plant really doesn't matter. We're just trying to create that screen.
Mm-hmm.
And different microclimates, even within someone's own backyard, there may be different specimens we can use just to give that appearance. But as long as they're planted correctly, they're spaced correctly, and they're in the right, you have the right plant in the right microclimate, they'll thrive in the long run.
I have an arborvitae that's uprooting itself and leaning over. It's tired. It's done. It's telling me it's out of here.
Most likely it is.
It's telling me I am done. Take me out.
Yeah, that's it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We've got a little bit of time, so I want to congratulate you guys. You just won one of the coveted Consumer's Choice Awards for 2019-2020, and that is hard to do in your industry. You have a lot of competition. You've won over 300 awards, and this just stacks right up there with that. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you so much
for
that.
Proud of it.
Yeah, we're very proud of that one, Belinda. And the Consumer's Choice Award is one that we both, David and I, think is very important, because that's really the Atlanta community voting for you, the way they set that award up. And we're just so thankful for Atlanta for voting for us and all of our clients for giving us the privilege to come work on their properties and allow us to display what we can do. You know, Gibbs also has won this award for 17 straight years in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, yeah, our team is so proud of that, and we're just so grateful.
Oh, that's something to really be proud of and hang your hat on. Okay, if people, we've got just a few minutes before we have to take a break. If people want to get in touch with Gibbs to have some work done, and, you know, you do so many different, you do hardscapes, you do landscapes, you do yards, you do the whole gambit. So, you know, call Gibbs for your landscape needs, because it's a one-stop shop and you can get it all done with one phone call. So how would you like them to get in touch with you, Peter?
Yeah, so anyone can call us at 770-432-7761, and we'll be able to get back to them, answer any questions, and try to help them. Or they can visit us online at gibbslandscape.com, and they can fill out an inquiry, which we'll get, and we'll get right back to them as well.
Okay, great. We're taking your calls at 404-872-0750. We have Rashawn and Perry waiting, and we're going to take your calls next. Stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Great bumper music today, John. What a DJ. You're listening to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton, and we are talking with the folks from Gibbs Landscaping, Peter Gibbs's, Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs. I got so excited with the music, guys. I'm so sorry. And we're talking about your landscape. We're talking about your edible garden. We're talking about your whatever you're planting in your yard, your hardscape. You know, maybe you want to add a fire pit. Maybe you want to add an outdoor kitchen, a pool, whatever. Gibbs Landscape can help you, and we're going to go to the phone lines. Guys, are you ready?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Ready.
Let's go and talk to Perry in Lawrenceville. Perry, you're on WSB. How are you today?
Just fine. How are you today?
Good. How can we help you, sweetheart?
Well, our backyard, we decided to renovate the backyard. It had a large maple tree out there and some leaning pines. So we removed those, and we've now had the backyard graded and fill dirt brought in and spread out. So, but the problem is we were planning originally on putting down fescue sod, but, of course, this isn't the right time to do it. So now we have about 2,000 square feet of dirt that we want to know what to do with between now and, say, September when it's time to put down sod.
Oh, we're going to have to put you on hold and let the guys think about that, okay? So it doesn't wash away. Okay, hold on for me, Perry, and the guys will think about that, and we'll get you right after the break. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And I'd like to thank my sponsors, Marietta Plastic Surgery and Artisan Custom Closets, for making this show possible. And we have on the line my experts today for this hour, Gibbs Landscaping, experts in the business, over 300 awards, most currently the Consumer's Choice Awards for 2019-2020. We want to congratulate them on that. Now, guys, we were speaking with Perry, and Perry did some tilling and grading of his backyard. He's going to plant fescue, but right now he's got a lot of raw dirt, and he doesn't know what to do with it until fall comes. So what is your advice for Perry?
Well, Perry, you're in the transition time for installing fescue turf grass right now. Typically, May 15th is going to be the cutoff to when we would install fescue sod. This year, it has been much cooler, and we do have next week jobs where we're going to install fescue sod. So if you did do the sod now, you'd want to get it done within the course of the next week. And when you do install the fescue sod at this time of the year, you want to make sure you treat it with a fungicide, because the turf grass can become susceptible to fungus when it's warmer and you're watering it on a regular basis. Now, if you don't want to install it, the best thing to do would just be to lightly cover the areas where the turf grass is going to go down with pine straw, nothing too thick, but lightly cover that. And then once you get ready in the fall to install it, you'll just rake that off and you can put your grass sod down, or you can seed it.
Okay. Well, that the... one recommendation I got was go ahead and seed with fescue, and if it happens to take, it happens to take, and if it does, then I can just overseed that in the fall, and I won't need the sod.
Yeah, you can try to seed with it right now. Most likely, it'll perform poorly when you seed this time of year, but you could try to do that and see how it shakes out. And then, like you're saying, you can reseed it in the fall, where it's going to have a much greater chance to establish a great lawn for you.
The people that looked at it for the sod said, well, I can put sod down, but I'll probably be back here in the fall redoing the whole thing.
Yeah, that's why when you're doing the sod now, it just has to be under irrigation. The irrigation has to be managed correctly, and you will need fungicide treatments. And if you do that, you're probably going to be okay right now for about a week or so. But after that, I would not install fescue sod.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Perry, and good luck.
All right.
All right. Boy, I do love sod over seed.
Well, you know, fescue sod, Belinda, nothing looks better than fescue sod, because it is green in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
and then in the springtime, once the new seeding happened in the fall, those little seedlings are coming up in the winter, but in the spring, those little blades turn into a big blade, and it just is so green environment. green and vibrant. It looks amazing in the springtime.
I know, and I am an immediate gratification kind of person, so that's why I like sod.
You're a sod lady.
I'm a sod lady. Okay, it's 39 minutes after 1 o'clock, 80 degrees. It's a gorgeous day outside, so please get out there and do something in your lawn and in your landscape, and you can call us with questions at 404-872-0750 and speak to the Gibbs Landscaping crew. Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs are on the line to help you. And we're going to Clay in Ackworth. You're on WSB. How are you today?
I'll make it.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yes.
How
so
can
I've
we
got
help
centipede,
you?
I've got centipede, and I have some dandelion and clover in it. And I would like to get, I'd like to put some kind of weeding feed on it, but I know with centipede you have to be really careful.
Yeah, I think Clay on this, good question, by the way. How long have you had the centipede or been working with it?
Probably 2 years. It's been down a while.
Okay. Is it kind of like off and on, like you got half weeds, half grass? Is it, how bad is the condition?
It's a little better than that. I sodded it, but you lose some over time. So,
okay.
I hadn't really done anything with it other than sod it and get it going good.
Well, the thing about centipede, it's very sensitive to high phosphorus levels. So you're going to have to make sure when you use the products, use something like a 15-0-15, a 16-4-8, and do it about twice a year. It doesn't need a lot of fertilization. I think what happens, a lot of people, they go out there and they throw a lot of nitrogen and a lot of fertilizer and think it's going to get better, and it gets worse.
Yeah, but what about the weeding?
Well, you can go to any of the box stores, and you will find a post-emerge that you can't use. And they've got all kind of different ones, every store's got a different one. Now, you can use the post-emerge on the weeds. I can say this, though, it is going to be a battle. I mean, it's going to take some time to a number of applications to make those weeds go. So it'll be probably a weekly chore for a while. But, you can do it. It's just going to take some time.
So I can use any of the standard weed killers from a box store and then just use the fertilizer with no phosphorus or phosphate.
When you go look for the post-emerge, look for the ones, there are going to be some post-emerge that are going to say grassy weeds and some broadleaf, and you may have to use two different types of post-emerge to do it, because if you start having the violets and some of these really difficult weeds that are deep, you're going to have to spray those probably 3 or 4 times, because those are just really tough. I don't know how big your yard is, but I would think about down the road going with like a Xeon Zoysia, something different. The Xeon's real popular. You'll have a lot better luck with it. It's a lot easier to maintain.
I hear you, but I just love centipede.
Sure.
But anyway. All right. Appreciate your time.
All right.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 43 minutes after 1 o'clock, and if you'd like to join us, please, 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Rashawn has been holding a long time. Thank you so much, sweetheart. How can we help you?
Hey, Belinda, and thank you for taking my call. And thanks to the Gibbs guys. My wife and I are season pass holders out at Gibbs Gardens for a while. So.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful property out there.
Thank you very much.
So, my question is on aeration. Earlier, you guys were talking about aeration. You probably want to wait 2-3 weeks out. Actually, my neighbor and I just rented a machine this morning. And so yards are aerated now. Is that going to be a problem?
I don't think so. I mean, typically, like I was saying, we recommend about 70-80% green up. It just helps. Did you do it today?
Yeah, I just did it just a few hours ago. I'm actually just taking a break right now.
Right. Yeah. At least it's done. How much green up do you have? Like 50% or so?
Yeah, everything's pretty green. Okay. My front yard is Bermuda for the most part, and you know, that's been pretty green. My neighbor's was Georgia, and his was very green. So we just went ahead and got it done.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay, but that kind of leads into the next question as far as so we did the aeration, and parts of my yard are fairly sparse. So I was looking to put down some Bermuda seed also.
Okay.
And I've also heard that, you know, sand really helps with, you know, Bermuda just to help that grow. So, I mean, is this a good time to plant the Bermuda?
It's great for Bermuda sod right now. Seed is a little bit finicky. I mean, you just never know. A lot of times we'll see people seed, you know, Bermuda. Half of it comes in, half dies. It's very tough. How much do you have? Are you talking like maybe like 100 square feet or roughly?
No, my front yard is about a third of an acre.
Okay.
And it's pretty open. I mean, there's not a lot of shade or anything like that. So.
Okay. So you've got a good bit. It would be a lot of sod.
Yeah, it would be a lot of sod. So I just want to do some seed.
Yeah. If you do the seed, go ahead and definitely do it now. And you just want to make sure you keep that seed that, you know, moist. Don't just drench it, but moist for probably 10 to 14 days, and you should start seeing germination. But the key to that is don't overwater it, because the seed's going to rot, and then it's just going to die, and it's not going to come off.
Okay. All right.
Just be real careful with it.
All right, I got one more question. So in my backyard, that's a little bit bigger. It's probably about a third of an acre, and half of it was covered with bamboo. Bamboo removed early January or mid-January. Now, the company that came out and did it, you know, they didn't go real deep. They just kind of ran across the top to pop all the root balls and whatnot. So now I actually still have some shoots that are coming up. I try and keep mowing over them, you know, whatever, just to keep them dead. And I heard that, you know, if I do that consistently, it's going to kill the roots over time. And is that true in you guys' experience? Or
it's going to help, but I'll tell you what. I mean, we really battle that bamboo on properties. It's going to take some time. There's some really strong products that they sell, you know, that are really strong. You have to make sure you don't have any pets in the yard, and you can use to drench it, and that will be a much faster kill. Just be really careful with it, and just don't let kids get around it or anything. But that's going to take it out the quickest.
Okay. And so, well, obviously, with a lot of that bamboo gone, I've got all this kind of bare dirt also. I was thinking about getting it, well, I have a tiller, just to kind of lightly till and plant some, you know, some general grade grass, just to try and keep the lawn from moving around.
Sure. So, you mean like seed it?
Yeah, just kind of try and seed it and maybe throw some root soil over it just to, you know, trying to keep some of the erosion down. Go through the bamboo roots, or, you know, because some of that stuff exposed, actually, or is that going to be a problem?
Well, it's just, you know, when you take that tiller through that bamboo root, you're just going to, that tiller, it's going to be a job. I mean, you're going to be just cutting all kind of roots. You're probably going to get, I would say, frustrated with it, and you might even quit. And then
you might want to hire that done,
throw some seed out there.
All right.
But you could get, you know, give it the try. It's bamboo's just one of the toughest ones. It's terrible.
Yeah, bamboo. Yeah, it's pretty rough. Anyway, but okay. But yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate
yes.
your time.
You're welcome. Right, good luck with it. Okay.
Good luck to you. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So, is there not a better way, guys, to get rid of bamboo? Can they not pull it up by the roots?
Well, I mean, with bamboo, Belinda, There's really two types of it. There's really two types of species of it. You have the bamboo that's called like a running bamboo, and that one is really aggressive. And what it's doing is running underground by rhizomes. Okay,
oh,
so it can run like 10 feet and then pop up somewhere else underground.
Oh gosh.
Then you have like the clumping varieties that are easier to get rid of. But like David was saying, I mean, it is tough, and what you typically have to do to really just eradicate, if you want the running bamboo out, you've got to cut down what they call the culms, and that's the part that's coming out of the ground, the shooting up that we see. And then you've got to go in there and you've got to basically dig out all those rhizomes.
Oh,
and
how
that's
horrific.
The only way to try to really, really get it. And then you have the option too to try to cut it back and spray it with some harsher chemicals like David was mentioning. But the running bamboo is just a massive challenge.
What a nightmare, because I hate using those harsh chemicals in the backyard or in
the
yard.
And it's true. And that's typically with us when we have a client that does have bamboo. And what typically happens is like the neighbor will have it and it just spreads into their yard and it's spreading by those rhizomes. Then we'll have to go in and do the process I mentioned, cut it to the ground and then dig down and clean it out. And then what we have to do is you have to put a barrier in between where we dug it out and where the neighbor's is. And you have to go down like 4 feet with almost like a metal edging. And that'll basically keep it from running back in.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay. We're going to take our final break with the Gibbs guys. You are listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton, and we're wrapping up our hour with Gibbs Landscaping. I'd like to thank Peter Kopsis and David Gibbs for spending the hour with us. And I know that was tough because y'all could be playing golf. It's gorgeous outside.
We can, but we do love gardening, Belinda, so we are just happy to be here and be able to visit with you and answer all your great callers' questions.
All right. Well, let's get back to the phones real quick and go to Penny in Alabama. Penny, welcome to Atlanta Living. How are you?
Is it supposed to be Annie?
Oh, Annie. Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I just moved here, and I have a house. We have Bermuda grass, and it's a nightmare. I don't like it. I don't understand it. it crunches when I walk on it. It has long tentacles that come out, and now I have a lot of brown patches. I have someone who comes out and weed and feeds it, but it's got weeds in it and these brown patches. I don't know what to do. I'm just at my wit's end.
I tell you what, we are running short on time. I'm going to get your phone number, and I'm going to have one of these guys from Gibbs Landscape call you back personally.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling Atlanta Living. Coming up next is David Danzig, and we're going to do the state of the state of restaurants. So stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.